You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, all about real estate edition, shining a light on the movers and shakers in the real estate industry, the home builders, developers, realtors, and suppliers making it all happen.
Good morning. Welcome back to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio. I'm your host, Carol Morgan, and I'd like to recognize our show sponsor, Denham Marketing. This year, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary. At Denham Marketing, we work to make your marketing a comfortable fit. So give us a call if you need original content for social media, public relations, marketing campaigns, email marketing, and blogging. Joining me today is Nick Whitson, Land Acquisition Manager with Eastwood Homes. Headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is one of my favorite southern cities, Eastwood has been building in Atlanta since 2019. So super excited to welcome Nick to the show. Nick, welcome. Take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being here today. Yeah, so I started in with working with Eastwood in October. Before that, I was an agent out there wheeling and dealing all kinds of land deals in the Atlanta market. I've been in the business since 2016. Mostly started inside the perimeter in the downtown, kind of infill type of projects, and then kind of branched out from there before I linked up with the Eastwood team, which has been great to work with. Everyone here has been super awesome.
Fantastic. Give us a little bit of an overview of Eastwood Homes for our listeners who may not be familiar.
So Eastwood Homes is a private builder, as you mentioned, out of Charlotte. We're in Virginia and the Carolinas, and of course here in Atlanta. It's a family-owned business, and it's been that way. The original owner, you still see him, still comes through for the land drives, and it's been a great experience so far. We've got 6 communities ongoing in the Atlanta market. We're kind of spread from Cartersville. We're getting underway with a project out there. We're in Canton and Great Sky. We're about to start building our neighborhood in Ball Ground Marble Tree. And we're also in Forsyth, starting a project in Dawsonville. And then out through North Gwinnett. I just finished a neighborhood in Buford and parts of Hull County, Flowery Branch. Of course, we're out in Houston and Twin Lakes. And we are starting another project in kind of the Braselton area. Bethlehem. Yeah, out that direction.
Bethlehem. Looks like you've got a lot going on in lots of the areas where people want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk a little bit about your day-to-day job as land acquisition manager. You know, are there specific areas you're looking for land, or what are you looking for?
Yeah, so, you know, we're trying to get really aggressive and expand our market share. So, and being a smaller company, we can kind of push the envelope, get a little more creative and maybe a little more nimble. So trying to crank up the machine and look at opportunities where we can partner up with people on deals, maybe go after some smaller things that others might not be into. But, you know, it's very competitive in Atlanta. So however you can get that competitive edge is kind of what I've been after lately.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of the communities that you mentioned and why they are such fantastic places to live. And let's just start with Twin Lakes and Houston. Talk a little bit about that community and what kind of product and amenities are there.
Oh, yeah, that's a really cool project. It's a large master plan community. We've got a handful of different builders in there. So I would imagine, you know, from the buyer side that you got a lot of diversity. Ours is more of a kind of a upper tier product in there, and it's got a nice big clubhouse and pool. Kind of reminds me of Springsteen's America, you know, where the big neighborhood, everybody is gets along and all that stuff. So cool project. Always looking for projects like that where we can participate.
Yeah, that one's really beautiful. I've been up there. I love the lakes and
yeah,
it just seems like it's a fantastic community.
It is. And Coulter, you know, was a big part of that as a master developer. And we really like working with them, and we're looking to work with them on other projects. They just do such a great job, and they're great people to work with.
Well, they will love hearing that. Yeah, they're super nice guys. What about Marble Tree and Ball Ground? What's special about that one?
Oh yeah, Marble Tree is really interesting. So we're just going vertical over there. We're going to start with kind of our smaller single family product in the mid fours. It's kind of an emerging area. You know, Canton's been real hot for years in Woodstock and lots of Cherokee out there. And Ball Ground's cool. You know, it's got that small town feel. It hasn't really popped off a whole lot, but you know, a lot of people are starting to look over there. Our neighborhood, Marble Tree, is kind of right off the expressway. So right as you pull off 575, it's right there off the corner. It's arguably within walking distance of downtown, which is a really cool feature. That's kind of something that we're keeping in mind moving forward, is how do we, on some of our projects, kind of get the walkability play. We think that's going to add a lot of value for the homeowners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we're hot on Ball Ground.
Ah, so maybe more to come in Ball Ground? Is that a little bit of a... Okay, well, we'll be excited about that.
I'm keeping my eyes out, so...
Okay.
Let's see.
What's special about Sunrise Cove at Great Sky?
Oh, probably the views. We were just over the other day checking on a progress. We got a couple lots left, a couple houses that are ready to go. So if you know anybody wanted to go tour some homes, please do. I think one thing that's really cool, like that I mentioned, is the views. You're kind of tucked away from everything in Canton, and it almost feels like, oh, I can just jump into town real quick, but then I feel tucked away and being up in Great Sky, and just kind of got a nice feel to it. We did some improvements to the community center there. We added some pickleball courts.
Ooh!
I just saw some people out there using them yesterday when we were up there.
Yeah, everybody loves pickleball.
Yeah. I'd say if you're in the market and you're looking for something that's kind of tucked away with some pretty lake views, it's definitely worth checking out if you're going to be shopping in the Canton area.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have alluded to looking for land for a couple of times. So talk about, you know, what makes a good deal? What are you looking for? You know, who should give you a call?
So I like to try to look for unique opportunities. You know, there's probably a typical deal size in the builder world that everybody's looking at. You know, let's just, for instance, say that's 70 to 150 doors or something like that.
Right.
Because the space is so competitive and, you know, everybody kind of has their own competitive edge, whether it's probably, you know, somebody like a Horton or a Pulte or even some of the smaller guys. I think that, you know, for me, it's like figuring out how can we find people in the marketplace that we like working with, where we can work together, where, you know, maybe we can pick up a larger project that hasn't gained some steam. Like, for example, I'm working on a project. I can't say where it is yet, but, you know, it was had some hair on it. It had some tough zoning conditions, but it's just, and it had been passed over, but it's a really unique opportunity. And I think it just takes the willingness to say, you know, here's some problems, and I'm going to just take the initiative to solve these problems and get this deal on track, and then looking to partners to kind of put that together, especially on projects that might be a little big for us. So, you know, how can I leverage our network and our friends and with other companies to put great deals together on some of these bigger communities where, you know, everybody can eat a little bit.
Yeah.
I kind of have that philosophy that, like, there's enough out there for everyone. So how can we work together to build a table that everyone can eat at?
Well, and there's lots of examples of that. I mean, you guys have definitely done that at Twin Lakes and Great Sky and a number of places.
Yeah. You know, and one thing I found in doing that is that it always comes back to you in some other way that's totally unexpected. So it's just worth putting out the good energy and just being forthright and good-natured about the process rather than, you know, trying to hoard things and control things. I feel like, especially lately, some of the stuff that's kind of come our way, I don't know if that would have happened if we hadn't just tried to do right by people and be a good participant in the marketplace. Rising tide lifts all boats kind of philosophy.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend that would call it the abundance mentality, that there's enough for everyone.
Yeah, totally. And you know, I think sometimes it's maybe a matter of perception that it may not seem that way at face all the time. And it's just a matter of, well, how can I look at this differently here?
Right.
You know, there's a deal we're looking at where, you know, we were really hot on it and then we weren't really sure. And, you know, just through nature of developing the relationships and just being a good player, you know, a way for us to participate kind of came back around. So it kind of goes back to what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and then on the flip side, going from bigger stuff is also looking at smaller stuff. I think there's some opportunities where, you know, the market has been kind of shifting a little bit. And I think some of these smaller sites, if you down to get real busy with it, you can find some good deals and try to leverage what's happening in the market to get a good position on some smaller deals and maybe get a little more creative. I kind of, coming from the in-town world, I'm used to like doing assemblages and things like that and working with smaller pieces. So it doesn't really intimidate me, but you know, everyone I think is just trying to kind of get creative and leverage things where they can, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Crafting the perfect marketing strategy is like constructing the perfect pair of jeans. You need all the right components and expertise. Unlike trying on a dressing room full of jeans, denim marketing makes the process painless and easy. Denim marketing is the market leader in creating quality, original content for home builders, developers, remodelers, and others in the industry. Call 770-383-3360 or email Carol at denimmarketing.com to find out how denim marketing can be a comfortable fit for your social media, public relations, marketing campaigns, email marketing, blogs, and other marketing needs.
So, you know, in terms of, I think you said that the kind of sweet spot was 77, you know, homes or up, but, you know, what does that typically equate to in terms of acreage for our listeners that, you know, might not really have an idea of how that equates?
So we're talking about around 70 lots or so. So maybe, you know, 3 to 4 units an acre on single family is typical. So I feel like I'm typically looking at stuff that's between 20 to 100 acres. And that's kind of the equivalent of that. Obviously, that changes depending on what municipality you're in. You know,
right.
Some municipalities want larger lots, some are okay with smaller lots. So it's a case by case scenario. And one thing that I've been trying to do is just, hey, if you think there's something there, just send it to me and I'll look at it and I'll give you some feedback. And
yeah.
I've actually found that by just being kind of that open door, like I'm happy to kind of provide some feedback or help however I can, even if it doesn't work for us, that's actually ended up in situations where, you know, flippers or brokers end up kind of bringing something around on the third or fourth time. Maybe it's a third or fourth deal, but because I took the time to kind of nurture the relationship in the beginning, it translates to something else, other possibilities and opportunities coming down the road. So I think that's something that's really important, really, the real estate industry.
Yeah.
Just my experience coming from the agent side, even to the land act side, is operating with a certain level of compassion and professionalism with everybody, because people don't forget that and it comes back around.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when you're looking at land, you know, it's not just, you know, lots and acreage and all that you have to take into consideration. You've got to figure out, you know, what kind of amenity might go there. And, you know, how does that factor in when you're looking at land? You know, when you're kind of picturing what might go there, are you from the beginning kind of picturing the layout that might work?
Sometimes I kind of play around with the land plans. Most of the time I see stuff that's already done. Mm-hmm. And it certainly, you know, amenities aren't inexpensive to build. And so you do get to a certain volume of units, I feel like, sometimes where you got one in there, maybe it's a zoning condition or something like that. So it's kind of a case by case basis. And mm-hmm. I don't really put a lot of forethought into it until it's a required part of something or a necessity. I'm usually just looking at what can I fit on here? What is the best product for that market? Product diversity is something that's kind of been a hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that some of the forums have talked about is, hey, we've been in a mode of building a certain type of housing for two or three decades. And now that's all changing with the broader real estate market. And how do we start looking at diversifying products within a community in order to offer more housing diversity?
Yep.
You know, maybe it's not building a bunch of huge homes and mixing in some smaller ranches or something like that. And in that kind of sense, or even with our townhouse deals, like kind of trying to mix up the products a little bit just to try to at least be conscientious of housing diversity and how that it helps us sometimes and also the consumer. And, you know, coming from the in-town market, I've always, from a creative side, been kind of into the idea of more eclectic projects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And things, even though that's not really what we do, but I feel like there's kind of a lean towards trying some of that stuff. So that's kind of one thing I'm excited about exploring is, you know, which direction are we going to try to lean into as things keep evolving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're going to see more creativity and more product types as we, you know, move forward the next 5 to 10 years. It's needed. You know, single family homes are great, townhomes are great, but in order to make things more affordable, we're going to be doing more, you know, 5-plexes and 8-plexes and houses that look like they're a mega mansion, but maybe they've got 12 condos inside them. And I think we're going to see builders get really creative in this market to try to solve the affordability crisis. Do you see some of that already, or is that kind of the same direction you were thinking?
I feel like I do see some of that. You know, I think there's a little bit of on the business side, I speculate that they're depending on who the builder is. Hey, we have a machine and we do this type of product and that's what we're going to do. And then you
right.
have others that are, hey, we're going to try something more creative, you know, based on maybe their branding or their leadership. But I think that the big changes as far as housing affordability is really on the government. I think
I agree with that.
Coming down
too.
To like,
yep.
Yeah, zoning laws. I mean, a lot of stuff around zoning, because you could come up with really interesting communities to serve either first time home buyers or empty nesters or whatnot. But if you can't get around getting creative with the zoning laws to kind of allow for the development of new products, whether it's housing or communities,
mm-hmm.
like how do you really get through there? You know, one thing like in Atlanta is the auxiliary dwelling units became really popular.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of kind of fighting back and forth on that from a political perspective. Now, it's not nothing we really do at Eastwood, but, you know, from a broader mm-hmm. look at real estate, you know, it's like, that's a way that, hey, if I'm a homeowner, you know, for example, in Atlanta, I could build an ADU, use that as extra income, or maybe if lenders were to treat ADUs kind of from an income producing perspective, that could help with, you know, gaining approval for loans, almost like a FHA loan
mm-hmm.
in the context of a duplex. Things like that, where how are we going to make it work for people? Because whether you're first time home buyer or you've been trying to go down, like what is the market going to do? I think Fed policy, monetary policy has a huge impact that is like not always at the forefront of the conversation, maybe from like
right.
the public's perspective. It's always like, oh, you're the developer, you know, you're making our housing prices crazy and whatnot. And it's like such a small piece
right.
of it.
Well, you know, what they don't see on that end is the fact that, you know, you spent a year trying to get all the entitlements and things in place before you even closed on the land, then to spend another 2 years of red tape and development and government, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, restrictions. And then by the time, so then, you know, you've sat on that land for a couple of years before you're even starting to put houses on it. And, you know, there's a carry cost to all of that. There's, you know, interest that the builders are, you know, paying on all that land. And, you know, the builder's not going to just absorb that. You know, builders are in business to make money. So that's the part that people don't see, is that all the timelines have been stretched out so long now that from the time you identify a piece of land, you know, it may be a year or more before you even own it. And then you may be two more years, you know, before you're to the point that you're really putting lots on the ground. And that's all, time is money. So,
yeah. And just the cost too. I mean, I can think of times where I've been in, you know, community meetings regarding zoning. And when you start breaking down the actual costs of site development and building certain product, then people are like, oh wow, I had no idea that it was that expensive. And, you know, then, you know, getting into the conversations of densities and whatnot, and how all those things kind of play a role. And, you know, as far as the new construction world, like, we can't control some of those variables, you know, like development costs or, you know, land costs, or we do what we can, but it's not just us in the formula. There's other people. And I don't know, maybe from a broader housing perspective, I think there's probably, personally, like, there's a lot in the resale market where I think that's got to give a little bit in order to try to open things up again too, because it's like, just trying to, in kind of my sympathies with first time home buyers and thinking about incomes and prices and whatnot, it's like, how do you step up into the next, that second house, being able to roll over equity, things like that, where I think it's becoming more apparent to me these days, because I think we see that, you know, we're a step up type of product, or a step down, you know, but coming from the world I did before, it's just something that I've kind of always kept an interest in, is how do we kind of solve this problem? Is it kind of going after it from a government side of like foreign entities controlling residential real estate? It kind of areas that like maybe not everybody wants to talk about, but it's like, we got to do something, because it can't just go on forever like this. Housing, private property, it's a big part of our economy.
Lots and lots and lots of topics you bring up. I think that you and I could wax on and talk for the next hour or so, but we're about out of time. So for our listeners that want to reach out and contact you or get more information on Eastwood Homes, where can they go?
Eastwoodhomes.com is a great way to connect with anybody on our team. Yeah, my email, if anybody wanted to reach out to me directly about a site or anything like that, is N for Nick Whitson. Whitson, so that's N Whitson at eastwoodhomes.com, or you can call our office here in Alpharetta and just ask for Nick, and we'll link up. Happy to look at any deals that come along and do the best that I can for the team.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that's a wrap of this week's Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio. I want to say thanks to Nick Whitson, Land Acquisition Manager with Eastwood Homes, for joining me in studio today. On behalf of our show sponsor, Denham Marketing, I'm your host, Carol Morgan. So thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, please go to iTunes and give us a positive rating and review. There's lots of ways to follow and interact with Atlanta Real Estate Forum. You can follow us on Facebook and all the socials. You can sign up for our newsletter on AtlantaRealEstateForum.com. And you are welcome to listen to all of our podcasts for free on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. If you're interested in being on the show, then shoot me an email at carol@denimmarketing.com and let me know what you'd like to talk about. And with that, thank you so much for listening. I look forward to seeing you right here again next week.
Today's episode was made possible by Denham Marketing, the publisher of Atlanta Real Estate Forum, Atlanta's favorite real estate blog and source for real estate news, trends, new home communities, model homes, builders, and more. Denim Marketing is a comfortable fit, like your favorite pair of jeans. Denim Marketing tailors marketing strategies to meet your specific needs and niche. Try them on for size. They will work to create a perfect fit for your company's marketing program. Call them at 770-383-3360 or send an email to info@denimmarketing.com. For more information on Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio or to inquire about being a guest, contact info@atlantarealestateforum.com. Check out the radio show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by listening to the show on your podcast or iTunes app. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.